So last week we started this new series all around this truth that God is speaking all the time. And he is. And we looked last week at creation. You know, the fact that the sun rises and sets every day, to the mountains in their majesty that point to the awesomeness of our God. And I know that for some of you, it was a little gross where I went, and I think it's cool, but me talking about the abundance of life that can be found right here in Ontario in those little ponds or bogs this time of year, from minnows to tadpoles to insect larvae, dragonfly nymphs, there is a whole lot going on in the water around us right now, and it's going on, and we have nothing to do with it. It happens every year. And each of us, we can actually, you know, we can travel outside of the GTA, get a little bit up north, and on a cloudless night, we can look up and we can see the moon appear. We can see the starry hosts. And I mentioned one of the things that God says, just one, that he says through his creation, that he is speaking. And our Lord God says to us constantly, I am faithful. I am faithful. Because tomorrow, guess what? The sun will come up tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar on tomorrow. Come what may. I love singing. You know, but it's true, isn't it? The sun is going to come up tomorrow. Why do we know that? Because God is faithful. He is faithful. And God speaks through creation. And those of us who are worrywarts, we need to hear that. We need to hear him speaking to us that he is faithful. And I wonder if you might remember the catchphrase from last week. If you want to avoid some tension, try giving God your attention. If you want to avoid some tension, try giving God your attention. Because we know people can be speaking to us, and if we have not given them our attention, we're going to miss what they're trying to say. And we will miss what our Heavenly Father is trying to say to us unless we give him our attention. And many people do miss what God is trying to say. Many people who don't know him as Lord and Savior miss what he's trying to say to them. And sadly, we who do know him as Lord and Savior, we who are in his family, who are Christians, we're missing out as well, because we're not paying attention. But it doesn't need to be that way. And this morning, we're going to look at a very simple stance that we can take to hear from God, and a wonderful story in 1 Samuel. But let's pray first. Father, thanks so much for this morning. God, I thank you for the worship and the fact that we know you inhabit the praise of your people. And oh my goodness, we know you're here with us today, Lord. So Lord Jesus, I come before you and I pray you forgive me my sins, cleanse me of all my unrighteousness, and Holy Spirit, please fill me up. Jesus, come preach this message, and this morning I pray, Lord Jesus, that the ears, the eyes, the hearts of my friends would be open to what you want to say to them today, Lord, that they might have ears to hear. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 3, and I know that the scriptures are going to come up behind me in just a little bit. But if you have your Bibles with you, it is a good thing to turn to the passage. So as you're doing that, let me kind of set up the story for you here. Samuel is a young boy, and he is living with the priest Eli at Shiloh, where people would come to sacrifice and worship God. But why is he there, this kid? Well, because his mother, Hannah, could not have children. So she was barren, and she came to God, and she pleaded with him to give her a child. And she promised, if you give me a child, Lord, I will return him to you and your service. And God granted her request. She and Elkanah had a son. And once Hannah had weaned her son, she honored her promise to God and gave her firstborn son to the Lord's service. And she would see little Sammy at least three times a year, because they would travel to Shiloh to worship God, to sacrifice there. And every time she went, she'd make some clothes for him. And so here's little Sammy, and he's growing up at the place of worship. So let me read this passage to you. And my best guess is Sammy's probably around 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 years old at this time. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." So as I was kind of preparing this passage, message for this morning, and looking at the passage, one of the things that really struck me was the first verse. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now, I know that this is the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit would only come to rest on a few people in that time. But they were surrounded by creation. And we found out from last week, we learned that creation pours forth speech. But maybe they were not attentive to that. Now, they did have the Torah, what we would call the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. And there would not have been many copies of that, and it would have been on scrolls, but this was a place of worship where you would come to sacrifice to God. And my goodness, the Ark of the Covenant was there. So it's an easy assumption that they had at least some of the written word of God, and yet no one was hearing from God. Now, back in that day, who ought to hear from God? I mean, personally, I think the natural assumption would have been the priests. And Eli, he had 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were not good guys. They were not good men. In fact, they were way more concerned about themselves and getting what they wanted when they wanted it rather than serving God and seeing Him glorified or hearing from God. They were more concerned about meeting their own needs than helping those who came to worship God. Now, I bring that up because they would have fit so well into this culture that we're in today, where selfishness prevails all over the place. The fact that these two were in ministry is not lost on me. And I don't think it should ever be lost on anyone seeking to serve God in full-time ministry. Because there can be a sense of entitlement that comes with any job, any role that we have. But it's just really disturbing when you see it in a pastor. And the sons of Eli were supposed to take part in the gifts offered to God. That was okay. They were supposed to do that. But their selfishness and them being full of themselves turned into entitlement. Let me read this to you from 1 Samuel 2, 12 to 17. Eli's sons were wicked men, and they had no regard for the Lord. Now, it was the practice of the priests with the people that whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, and while the meat was being boiled, the servant of the priest would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would plunge it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take for himself whatever the fork brought up. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the servants of the priest would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, who had come to worship God, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." And if the man said to him, "Let the fat be burned up first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would then answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Not a wise thing to do. Now, we all struggle with selfishness at different levels. But when we have these feelings of great entitlement, they should be a big red warning light to us that something has gone sideways inside of us. Because it'll make it very difficult for us to hear from God. Why? Because there are those who get so full of themselves, they don't have room for God. In fact, they see God as a means to an end, to get more of what they feel they are owed, what they think they are deserved, what they deserve. You know, one of the things I actually love about our pastoral team here, our pastoral staff, is that we're all first-generation pastors. I mean, Hogan used to pull a wrench as a refrigeration mechanic, and his dad was a teacher. Martin's dad was a cop, and Dan has worked building cars. He did retail for a while and a bunch of other jobs. Julie's father worked for Hydro, and she worked in group homes. She actually sold shoes as well and actually did a stint at McDonald's. And Steve, oh my goodness, I mean, he started out at the TTC and worked his way up, but he started cleaning cars, the subway cars. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember growing up, you'd see some pretty messy things on those cars at times. And that's where he started, pushing a broom, cleaning that kind of stuff up. And I was blessed to work for my dad's company. I say that now, I never said it then. Because I was the boss's kid, and I lived at home, and so whenever there was a job that had to be done, like, right away, I was really close. Scott, go do this. Scott, go do that. I'm like, oh my goodness, I have time off. No, we need you to go do this. Oh, okay. But I had so many experiences, you know, through plaza maintenance, through landscaping, through decorating, painting and decorating, and snow plowing. I had all these different kinds of experiences working for my dad. I think all of us who are on staff are well-versed in something that helps us avoid entitlement. We're well-versed in something, let's call it broom theology. See, and it's a wonderful answer to the entitlement trap. Here it is. There is no job that is beneath you. There is no job that is beneath you. You see something that needs to get done, just do it. Because at the end of the day, whatever job you are doing, you're doing it for the Lord. Now, let me back that up with Scripture. Colossians 3, 23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So whatever we're doing, whatever job you're in, part-time, full-time, whatever you're doing, it's not for the man, it's for the Lord. That's who you're serving. That's why Christians ought to be the best employees on the face of the earth. Because we are working for the Lord, whatever job we're at. And this attitude, this broom theology, will battle the entitlement trap. This will battle our own selfishness so that we will not get in the way of us hearing from God. Broom theology. You know, it's why the staff park every Sunday over at the school. They walk the 100 meters for Jesus. It's why some of you, when you begin to get a picture in your head of what does a creative arts pastor look like, some people, they think someone who wears a scarf and skinny jeans. That's what a creative arts pastor looks like. But not ours, because you know what ours does? He's up in the rafters of the church pulling wires to hook up speakers and all kinds of other things. And when up there from time to time, he finds little critters. He does. And he pokes them. Hey, little guy, are you okay? Trust me, that happened. Ask Ryan Crawford. He was with him. But that's our team. I tell you some of the stuff that Steve and Julie and others have done, but they'd hurt me because they're not doing it for you. They're doing it for the Lord. Because there's no job beneath them. There's no job beneath any of us. Because who we work for is for God. And taking that stance will battle the entitlement trap. Now, again, this is why I'm telling you all this. That we can make an effort to avoid the entitlement trap, so that it will never, ever get in the way from us hearing from God. And wherever you're at, in your place of work, or even in the home in which you live, don't get caught up in what you think you're entitled to. Do the work as unto the Lord. And candidly, let me just tell you, go to the other extreme. Go to the other extreme of not expecting, so that thankfulness and gratitude will rise up within you. And all the good things that you do have and the things that come to you, you will see is coming to you from the hand of our Lord. Because you're trying to honor Him in all that you do. You see, that approach to life is a definite way to position yourself to hear from God. Now, please, I need you to trust me in this. The entitlement trap will lead you to become a cranky Christian. And cranky and Christian should never go together. Never. But the reality is, there are all kinds of cranky Christians out there. And my experience has taught me they are not hearing from God. Now, the picture behind me with the caption, it doesn't fit, does it? Because his face gives away what's happening inside of him. And yet this happens to Christians because somewhere earlier in their life, they got passed over for some praise or a promotion or material reward they thought should come to them. They felt entitled to. Okay, that path of entitlement, it is an easy one to get on. And the further you go down that road, the harder it is to get off. If you allow yourself to get caught up in that. If you do, you're going to have a very difficult time hearing God speaking to you. Because our eyes, our ears, our hearts will be focused on what we didn't get rather than what we have already. What God and what God wants for us. My friends, if this is a struggle for you, and I know for some that this is huge, because you work hard and you deserve, because you are better than all those other people in your place of work. Okay, if that's the kind of thought you have and feelings you have, if you're being really honest with yourself, can you just see the big flashing light going, danger, danger, danger? See, as a pastor, as your pastor, I want you to hear from God so that you will never become a cranky Christian. You know, Peter, the Apostle Peter, had some great insights for us. But it starts with a warning from Proverbs 3:34, where Peter says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, none of us ever want to be in opposition to God. We do not want Him opposing us. So what do? Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Okay, that's awesome, Peter. But what do I do right now? Right now, when I am worried, I am getting passed over. I'm missing out on what I think I deserve. Well, Peter helps us there too. Cast all your anxieties on him, on God, because he cares for you. And so wherever you are right now, if you're struggling with this, you say, Lord, I'm going to humble myself before you. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to get off this path of entitlement, and I'm going to trust you that at the right time, Lord, when it's good for you, you're going to lift me up. You're going to lift me up. You're the one who will do that for me. Because God, you have my back. And if I feel anxious about this, I can cast all those anxieties on you. Because I know you care for me. And I think we need to be reminded of this. That God does have our backs as Christians. And when we are humbled and we humble ourselves before him, he looks out for us. We need to hear that from God. We need to hear him speaking to us day in and day out. We need to hear from him that we are loved by him. And he will speak. As long as we don't get so full of ourselves that we can't hear him. Avoid the entitlement trap. Let's go back to Sammy. He's been running back and forth to Eli because he thinks that's the one who's been calling him. But Eli, as the older, wiser man, realizes it is God speaking to this little guy. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. Okay, I know that Eli had some issues, but I tell you, when I read something like that, what I see here is a powerful reason why one of our core values here at Bramley Alliance Church is that we value being a multi-generational church, that we have youth and middle-aged, and young adults, and those who are in their senior years. We are all together. We are one family. Because those who are younger need those who are older. Because just like Eli realized God was speaking to Samuel, so too can those who are older, who have walked with Jesus longer, can be used of God to speak into the lives of those who are younger. They can speak into their lives. They can give words that guide, words that at times, you know what, at times it's a rebuke. Other times, though, it's encouraging those who are younger, helping them to get to a place where they might hear God clearly. Right now, it happened in our first service, actually, downstairs. There's this wonderful initiative that Dan Martin has gotten going, and actually Tyler Lodge has had a huge part to do with this. He's written all the curriculum for it. This discipleship project has been going on. And those in grade 11 and 12, those who desire to be a part of that, joined, and there are other older adults within our church. Not all of them, they're not all seniors or anything. They're just older than the kids. Said, in the spirit of discipleship, hook me up with one of these senior high kids, and I'm going to build into them. I'm going to meet with them. And they have been. This has been going on for a while now, and it's been incredible. I know because my daughter is on the receiving end of one of these relationships, that there is an older, wiser, godly woman that meets with her and builds into her. And my daughter is reaping the benefits of hearing from God because someone older and wiser who has walked with Jesus longer is pouring their life into hers. And I think God looks down from heaven and he smiles on things like this. And he blesses things like this. Older, wiser Christians, loving and ministering to and discipling those who are younger. And let me tell you, those who are older and wiser, they're getting a lot of blessing out of this too. As they're hanging out with these young men and young women. And they're seeing them grow in their own faith. It's a wonderful thing, and God smiles on that. And so Eli gives young Sammy words to say. He instructed him in the stance he should take the next time he heard God calling. And his words, the stance that he instructs Samuel to take, is the one that we ought to adopt in our lives every day if we want to hear from God. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I have to ask a question today. Do you want to hear from God? I mean, do you really want to hear from God? Because God is speaking. Samuel did. He wanted to hear. And it led him to a lifetime of hearing and obeying God. And the difference that Samuel made to the Jewish nation was great as a servant of the Most High God. You know, there's a little poem. I stuck it up on my wall in my office 9 years ago as a reminder of how I want to be. And it says this: "Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of your word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all. Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of your word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all." We have a couple weeks left in this series. And it's why I want to pose the question of whether you really want to hear from God. Some of you, you're with Sammy. You have a heart's desire to say, "Speak, speak, your servant is listening." But others today, if you get real honest, I mean like dangerously honest with yourself, do you think your comment to God might sound more like this? "Lord, don't mess with the plans I have for me, because I know what will bring my happiness. Don't mess with me, Lord. I don't really want to hear from you, because I got my own plans. I think I know how to meet my own needs." And yes, yes, for a time, you go down that path, you might feel happy. There may be moments of even great excitement. But that is a path that sooner or not much later will leave you empty at best. Go down a little further, resentful, maybe bitter, or you'll become a hurting unit emotionally. You see, I would love for all of us to avoid that, and all of us would decide, "God, I want to hear from you." And so we come to him. We surrender to God. We say, "Speak, Lord. Speak. Your servant is listening." We pay attention to what God is saying through creation, which pours forth speech. We pay attention to what God is saying through his word. We pay attention to what God is saying to us through other Christians in our lives who love us and who are building into us. And we listen. "Speak, your servant is listening." See, the bended knee says, "I'm surrendered to you, God. I will humble myself because I want to go your way. Your way, Lord, not my way. Your way. Would you guide me there? I'm listening. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Who do you want me to be? Speak, Lord. I'm listening." I used this passage last week. Moses used it as he spoke to the people of God. We are the people of God. In this day, in this age, we are God's people. Deuteronomy 30:20. "Then may you love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. For the Lord is your God. Life." Oh, my friends, we chase after all kinds of other stuff at times, don't we? That we think will bring us happiness, and we miss it because the Lord is our life. We need to hold fast to Him and then seek Him first, and all these other things are added onto us as well. But it starts with that surrendered heart saying, Lord, speak. I'm listening. I'm your servant. I'm listening. And we're so much more than servants. We're sons. We're daughters of the King. Might we desire Samuel's ears to hear from our Lord and our God? Let me pray for us. And Father, this morning, Lord, I just, Lord, we are a multi-generational family. I love it. But wherever all of us are right now, God, I know that there's some here today and they're in that position of surrender to you. Others, Lord, they're fighting this because they think they know better, or they feel like this, there's something different they want that they know you don't want for them. God, I pray that they'd hear you, that they would listen to you, that they would obey. And Lord, there might be some here this morning who have not yet even come to that place where they have surrendered their life to you at all. And this morning, if that's you here today, then can I just offer a prayer up to you, for you? And you can say this. You're not talking to me or anybody else around you. You're talking to God. But you can accept what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You can accept that love and that forgiveness. And today you can join the family of God. There's so many different phrases we use at times in the church about being born again or drinking living water. But really, it's a crossing over from one kingdom to another, into God's kingdom, into His family. If that's your desire today to come to Jesus and make that choice, then I just encourage you, just pray this little prayer in your mind, in your heart, because God can hear that. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for all you've done for me. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for dying in my place and shedding your blood to cover over my junk, my sin. Lord Jesus, I agree with you that I have sinned, and I wish to accept your gift of forgiveness. Lord, as much as I know how, I want to now follow you and have you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to be a part of your kingdom, of your family. My life is yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.